Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. 1 Corinthians 1:7. The world cannot understand when the Bible speaks of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny yet his first coming as the Lamb of God. He came as a sacrifice to save, to cleanse, to purify, to sanctify, and prepare those who would believe for that great day of judgment, when the wrath of God will be made known fully to man. The days of Noah and the days of Lot were a warning to mankind that God will only let wickedness have its way for so long, and then the wrath of God will be unleashed. In the days of Noah, it was with the coming of the great flood. People were found to be eating and drinking, marrying and being given into marriage when the floods came and destroyed them all but Noah and his family. Or in the days of Lot, when people were eating and drinking and buying and selling, planting and building, that to them came the fire and the sulfur that rained down from heaven and destroyed them all, with Lot and his family being the only ones spared. Noah prepared for the day when the rains would come by following God's directive and building the ark. Abraham interceded for Lot and his family as he stood before the Lord and pleaded for the righteous within the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis 18:20, then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me, and if not, I will know." Keep in mind that God did know what was going on. He knows all, but he loved his servant Abraham, and he listened to him as he interceded for the righteous, if there were any in the cities, that they may be spared when the destruction came. And so it will be in the last days, when once again the Lord returns to the cries of the righteous as the wickedness that is in men's hearts pours out into the world. Will this generation be found to be doing the same things? In Luke 17:30, it says it will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. So, yes. Yes, it will be, for without Christ, a man's heart cannot nor will it change. And you cannot fully understand the birth of Christ without gaining understanding into the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and the promise of his second coming. The Advent season opens the window of opportunity to gain understanding into this, and it helps to tie together the whys and the hows of it all. There will remain to us a mystery as to his second coming, just as it was a mystery to those in the days of his first coming. In those days he came as the Lamb of God, offering up himself as a sacrifice, so that the world may be reconciled to God, and the chains of sin broken, and man would be restored to the beauty that God had created him to be. In Hebrews 9:26-27, the Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. And unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he sacrificed himself. You see, Jesus was perfect in every way. No other could have done what he did. Nothing that has been created could have done what he has done. And other than God himself, everything is created by him, through him, and for him. Sin is a force we cannot fight on our own. We don't know how to. And without the Lord, we wouldn't even recognize sin for what it is. We have his laws written on our hearts. But the heart can be a deceitful thing. Of this much has been written in God's word. Another warning to know who we follow and what we truly believe. And so it is when we believe in the Son of God, when we have faith in him to do what he says he will do, and we hold on to him, seek his face and his ways, which are paths to holiness and righteousness, it is then that we can see the ways of God. Then we can do his will, and then that we will begin to truly wait until the day of his return, doing his work and helping others to see him and encouraging them to want to know him, as we are called to warn them of the days to come and of the hope that is offered to them, to intercede for them so that on that day they may know the gift of salvation and not the wrath of God that is to be unleashed on those who have rejected his precious gift. There's just no other way. There is no other hope. There is nothing without Jesus. Do not your hearts cry for those who don't know him? Who will be caught unaware when he returns? Who will face a judgment that also is eternal? And rather than life, they will be in a state of death, because death will not come a second time. As we read earlier, a man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. And Mark writes in chapter 8, verse 31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And so what do you have in mind today? Are you thinking of the things that you need to do, or have you given yourself fully over to worship this morning? Have you gathered with other saints to sing his praises, to come together in prayer and lift each other up, and those who have yet to find him in life? Do you bow your head as you hear his word and think of the day when he will return? Is your mind on the things of God or on the things of men? These things that keep you will determine whether you watch for him or whether you will be found having given yourself over to the cares, the worries, and the pleasures of this world. Jesus knew what the others had forgotten. Even those who taught the scriptures, as they were so focused on who they believed he was and not on whom he said that he was, that they could neither see nor hear as he spoke the words of God to them. Jesus quoted the scriptures to those around him. The truth was being revealed of God's word by God's word. But they were looking for another to fill the role of Israel's Messiah. They were looking for someone worthy of the title, someone perhaps only the leaders could see and not the common, ordinary man or woman. You see, Jesus was too plain. He was too simple. He was not their Savior, but a threat to what they knew and believed to be true. We read the scriptures today and have the privilege of knowing how this portion of God's story goes. And from what we have been given, we are taught if we will listen. We are encouraged if we will grab hold of what is taught us. And we are reminded if we will be still and listen, that Jesus, who is the Son of God and now the Son of Man, the Father's Christ, Israel's Messiah, the Savior to the world, he came not with thunder clapping or lightning flashing. There was nothing but a star in the sky to show that Jesus, the Word, had become flesh, that he, God himself, had in fact come to earth, that he had come as was promised and foretold to rescue those who would believe. The announcement came by way of an angel announcing his birth to a group of lowly shepherds, and he being joined by a chorus of heavenly hosts as heaven celebrated what had come to mankind. The angels rejoiced at his birth, at his arrival, and they told these shepherds in the field that night that they would find this miracle in a manger, and he would not be surrounded by riches and beauty, but by simple things, a roof over his head, and the lullaby of a stable to comfort him as he slept. The announcement of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords coming, of his birth, came in the still of the night, and here given to the world a gift from God. For John 3:17 reminds us, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And to that which had been lost, the hope of restoration was now offered, and it lay sleeping in a manger. When he returns, though, and he will, it will not be to rescue, but it will be to judge in each man according to what he has done, both good and bad. Titus 2:13 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." And finally, in Revelation 1:7, look, "He is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. And so shall it be. Amen and amen."